Hello and welcome back to Up the Villa podcast match preview, Aston Villa v West Ham United. And we've got semi-full lineup. Hannah is on holiday, so she's not on the show. But I'm joined by Ryan and Justin. How are we both?
Good.
Very well, thank you, mates.
Doing better than me. I think I've got an allergic reaction in my eye. So I've got red eyes. And yeah, so if anyone's wondering what's wrong with my eyes, I've no idea really. So we'll get on with it. So some good news for some Villa players for the next European competition, 2024. John McGinn, Pau Torres, Youri Tielemans, Boubacar Kamara have all qualified with their national sides to the Euros. We'll kick it off with you, Ryan. Big stuff for Scotland, I think. John McGinn, second European qualification in a row. And I know he's sort of heavily involved in the first team. Pau, Tielemans, Kamara, they're sort of squad players, aren't they? But John McGinn, he's in fine form for club and country.
Yes, he's been at the forefront of all of Scotland's good fortunes. You know, they went so many years without qualifying for a major tournament. And Steve Clarke has come in and he's just done a wonderful job, hasn't he? I watched the game, actually, the Scotland-Spain one. And they were very unlucky, Scotland. Looked like they was doing the job and very, very dodgy. VAR decision cancelled out McTominay's opener, but Spain was quality in the end, show through. And yeah, it's massive. It's massive for Villa players just to be in tournaments. You know, it's been a long time since we had an array of stars in tournaments. And look, the last tournament, our goalkeeper went and won it. So hopefully Ollie Watkins will be joining that international scene as well for a tournament. And imagine the scenes if England brought something home and we had Villa players in that squad. So it's always a dream, isn't it? It's always a dream.
It is. It seems like a long dream with who we've got in charge. But yeah, I mean, they're doing all right. Should look like England are going to qualify anyway. And hopefully Watkins, I've said this pretty much all week, really, that if Watkins continues to score for Villa, he will be on the plane and he will be in Germany. And, you know, he's a great option behind Harry Kane. Something different. But let's turn our attention then to Aston Villa. We are back in action. This international break went quite quick. Didn't feel like it went on forever. Probably because we got to talk to Justin towards the end of it. And we knew he was having Justin's arrival. But, you know, from the last international break to this one, Aston Villa did very well in the league, 10 points out of 12. And with our next fixtures coming up, if we can replicate something similar, we are going to be in a very, very good position going into the back end of November as well, really. So this international sort of, well, this part of our fixture starts on the 22nd of October, ends on the 12th of November with Fulham. Then we have an international break, which takes us to the back end of November. And then we've got that busy December period. In this group of games now until the next international break, we've got West Ham at home, Alkmaar away, Luton at home, Forest away, Alkmaar at home and Fulham at home. So that's three Premier League home games. We've got one Premier League away, one European home and one European away. It's very treacherous when you look at fixtures on paper and you think, how many points can we get? But this is a big, big phase in our season, I think. If we can come out of this in really good shape, I think we're going to be looking right up that table, then looking at going in a really good December. Transfer window opens and let's go. Justin, how do you approach these next run of games and what's your thought process behind those fixtures on paper?
Yeah, it's going to be packed, isn't it? I mean, I was just looking there, six games. Once we kick off on Sunday to West Ham, it's six games in 3 weeks. So it's going to be hectic. But I think looking at the Premier League fixtures especially, you know, West Ham, Luton, Forest and Fulham, I think they'll be looking to get maximum points. I've got to be brutally honest, out of all four of them games, they're all winnable games, aren't they? And then the Alkmaar, the AZ game away is a tricky tie. We've seen that already in our first away European game. And they look marginally the strongest other team in the group, I think, apart from us. And then we get AZ at home, don't we? So it is a really tricky period. And obviously, we are creaking a little bit on the playing side, and you know, we've now got this added Zaniola thing to throw into the mix as well. We'll just see how that one plans out. But I think they've got to go in positive, aren't they? Our home form's very good. We've got West Ham at home, Luton at home, Alkmaar at home, and Fulham at home. So four out of the six are at home, and the form we're in at home, you know, we've got to be confident we can beat anybody, to be honest. So I think unbeaten would be the way we need to come out of it by the next international break, minimum unbeaten. I don't mind a couple of draws in there if that's what we have to take, you know, if we're off it on one or two of the games. But I don't want to lose a game in this six-game period, and I want to try and win all four of the Premier League games and hopefully don't lose away at Alkmaar and then beat them at home. And then that should set us up to be in a really, really nice position in the league and in the Europa Conference League as well. So I think tough fixtures, but all very winnable.
Yeah, and you know, like we've reiterated for the last couple of months, every single fixture throws up its own challenge, you know. So whoever we're playing, you know, there's going to be probably different permutations going into each game for each side that we face. Luton will probably be a difficult one at home. You know, I mean, we don't want to lose this unbeaten record to Luton at home, do we? No. That would be very Villa Football Club all over, really. So, you know, some tough games. They're all tough, but, you know, a great opportunity. If you look at our fixtures this season, we've had so many away games. So, you know, having three of the four games now at home feels like that sort of balancing itself out and catching itself up, and we are fantastic at home. So difficult games, each and every one of them, but we're Villa. We're a different Villa now. We look to win games. We've got aspirations to be right at the top end of this league. So I don't think it's silly saying we want to win every single game, but there's a tough game on Sunday, 4:30. West Ham, who are seventh in the league, they're 2 points off Villa, started fantastically well this season. They had a great start to the season. They had two losses. I think it was to Arsenal and City. So they had that difficult little period there of two games, but they're playing really well. They've sort of wound back the clock to the season before the last one, which was, you know, getting him into Europe and doing so well. And I think, you know, they've lost Declan Rice, and I think that's going to be great for Villa, because he always looks like he's had the freedom of Villa Park every time he's played for West Ham. So that will be nice not to see him in a West Ham shirt. It's going to be a difficult game. Like I say, I think they've started well. I think they've recruited well. They've done well, you know, with Ward-Prowse. I really like Kudus. I think their central midfielders playing really well as well. So, difficult game. We have got a real in-depth tactical look at West Ham. If you remember the Brighton one that I did, we've got that same sort of vibe coming this week for the West Ham game. But, Ryan, how are you feeling about West Ham coming to Villa Park?
Wow, I thought Wolves were our bogey team, but it turns out West Ham have got a bloody good record against us, especially back in the Premier League. We've only took 3 points off them out of a possible 24 points. We've not recorded a win against them since we've been promoted, and the last time we beat them, Tom Cleverley scored the winning goal back in 2015. So we are due one. We know that Emery likes to smash these type of winless records. You know, he arrived with a 27-year winless record at home against Man United and absolutely smashed that. So I'm backing Emery to repeat that on Sunday. But yeah, like you said, look, they're still buzzing off their Europa Conference League win, something that we're trying to emulate. And I think most West Ham fans were resigned to losing Rice at the end of that tournament after he lifted the cup. And I think when we'd done our pre-season predictions, there was a bit of doom and gloom around West Ham because they'd obviously sold Rice, but they hadn't really signed anybody yet. And then they had a bit of a late flurry at the end of the window and got some good players in. They've recruited really well and their system looks good, man. They are compact. They are, I'd say, defensive. They set themselves up structurally well to be hard to break down. And then once they do, they will press you and they will force you centrally. And that's where they like to pinch the ball off you. And they counter very, very swiftly, rapid. In fact, they've got some top players in that attack. You know, Antonio still leads that line superbly. His pace and power is always awkward to defend against. And he gets backed up by Bowen and Paquetar and James Ward-Prowse. Now you put him in the mix, and I know, Justin, you're very fond of James Ward-Prowse, weren't you? You would have liked to have seen him in the Villa shirt, and he seems to have, like, he's obviously left Southampton, new environment for him. It's only the second club he's ever played for, and it feels like he's been given a new lease of life. He helps in that, like, counter transition. His long balls, his distribution is unreal, and I think he's got something like 6 assists. The fullbacks are bombing on. They've got assists in the game. So, yeah, they are in a real good place and it's going to be a real real tough matchup. I think a lot of it's going to be decided centrally. I think Luiz and Kamara are going to have big, big games against Suchek, Paquetar, and who's the other one in the middle? Oh, James Ward-Prowse, I was just talking about. So I think that's where the game's going to be won and lost. I think we do have to be careful, do have to be really, really focused on not letting them counter us. And I think it will be one of those games where we will have to be patient and we will get a chance and we will take it. I think it might be one of them where it's more later in the game. So I think it will just have to be a calm one, not too pushy from the crowd and let Emery do his thing. But yeah. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to getting back down Villa Park. It's like a bit, it's been a bit sporadic, hasn't it? We ain't really, really got into a routine of going down Villa Park. So this is a nice run now for all us fans.
Yeah, can't, mate. And got to say about fan cams, we've made a mini investment. Well, not mini. I mean, I got it off Amazon. But basically, for the fan cams now, I've got a torchlight. Which fits onto my camera that we use, and it's going to light up Villa Park. It's that bright.
Do they be sunglasses for the next one?
Well, to be fair, like one of my favourite Christmas films is that one where he puts all the decorations on his house.
National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
No, not that one. It's a different one. And he tries to see his house from space, and I reckon you're going to see us from space. It's that bright. So I can't wait for them fan cams, just because the dark nights are coming in. And, you know, I've noticed on some of the fan cams that it's dark and we need a light, and it does work really well. So, yeah, we've got a light. But anyway, right, before we're going to go into the stats, and then I'm going to get Justin's thoughts on West Ham winning the Conference League and Villa taking inspiration from that as well. But I just wanted to share with you, I spoke about it the other day with Justin, that in my head, I just want Dougie to be chilled. And then we saw this photo of him like fishing, and I just thought, fine, I'm happy with that. Feet up, fishing. Has he got a can? No, I thought it looked like he got a can, but I think it's on his fishing rod. Yeah. Well, he got a can of something, but yeah. So that's what Dougie's been up to. So he's nice and relaxed. Don't know what beach he's on. Might be like Barmouth or something, but
it looks warmer than it does here. Christ.
He's gone to Wales. So right, stats them head to head, 48 games in the Premier League era, 14 wins to West Ham, 13 for Villa, 21 draws. We've got 9 home wins and they've got 6 away wins, which is pretty decent, to be fair. This, like Ryan was alluding to, is our recent record. No wins, not great games. Was it Lanzini that scored last season against us at Villa Park? always comes off the bench.
No, I think it was that
Four nails.
That's it.
Yeah. Does he always score against us?
He does. He's one of them with one of them records, anyway. His most goals are against Villa.
Yeah, standard. Right. So this is the form guide going into it. No, so they lost to Liverpool, sorry. So it was Man City and Liverpool that they've lost to. But other than that, they've had a good start. And Aston Villa's form is there to see. Four games unbeaten. So this season, we are both conceding 1.5 per game. We are scoring 2.4 and they are scoring 1.9. We've won 5, drew 1, lost 2. They've won 4, drew 2 and lost 2. This was their lineup against Newcastle. Koufal, Zouma, Aguerd and Emerson, Ward-Prowse, Alvarez, Souček, Bowen, Paqueta and Antonio. It's a 4-1-4-1 formation. Interestingly, Koufal has sort of rolled back the years again and he's playing quite well for him so far this season. He's got 4 assists in all competitions. Ward-Prowse has got 6 assists in all competitions. Bowen is their top scorer with 5 goals in all competitions. Souček 4, Kudus 3, Ward-Prowse 2 and Antonio 2 goals. This was their average positions from the 2-2 draw against Newcastle. Their average positions and passing network looked like this as well. What we can see is that Alvarez sometimes does drop into form a part of their defence as well. And it's a 4-1-4-1 formation. This was how Newcastle passing network was for the 2-2 draw. They were heavily reliant on that right-hand side. So that's up against Emerson and Paqueta. You can see that West Ham's danger creation comes centrally and out wide with a 0.24 expected threat and a 0.23 on the left-hand side. Shots with XG by the minute against Newcastle. I felt like they were a bit unlucky in this. I think Isak was lucky to get one of his goals. There was a push before he scored one of his goals. Match dominance by expected threat. But the one thing to note before we go into the predicted lineup, which will be coming after this episode anyway, is that they're not too keen on possession anyway. So the expected threat and sort of like the match dominance per game, you know, don't be surprised to see most teams having the majority of the ball against West Ham. And like what Ryan said, they do a lot of their damage on the counter-attack. So those are some of the stats build up to the game. We'll go back to you, Justin. Conference League. Big thing for West Ham to win a trophy. Not sure I would be singing Champions of Europe through winning it, but they've won a trophy. They're not Champions of Europe. It's a different type of Europe, but fair play to them. You know, to go unbeaten in that competition was brilliant. I think that competition looks a little bit stronger this season with some of the teams that are in it. But yeah, if you ask me, I'd love to win it. So what did you make of West Ham last season with their European victory?
Yeah, they were fantastic, weren't they? I think they showed the way forward for us, didn't they? With the way that they progressed through the different stages and then ultimately got through to that knockout stages, and they performed extremely well against all the sides all the way through to the final, didn't they? And it was a great win in the final. I just think it shows what you can do. You know, that the form in the league did drop off when it became very clear that the pathway was there to go and try and win that tournament in Europe. And you've got to give them their, you know, let them enjoy it, you know, revel in it, because I know we would if we won it. So fair play to them. And I think what it's done is it's given them that momentum to come into this season. And you know, like we've seen when we lost Jack and you know, Tottenham have lost Kane and they've lost Rice. It's not always the worst thing in the world to lose your star player, because as long as you're careful with the money and you reinvest sometimes the rest of the squad comes together more. You know, you get that real unity with the players that are left behind, and you've seen that a little bit now with West Ham. I think they've invested well, as Ryan said earlier. I like Alvarez. I think sitting in the Rice role, he's done pretty well, coming in to fill in a massive void for them. Bowen obviously scored that winning goal in Europe, and he's gone on and had a really good start to the season with an international call-up as well. Ward-Prowse, I love Ward-Prowse. I think he's probably one of the most underrated Premier League players, you know, in a very, you know, over the last few years. And we just don't get, let's just not give anything away around by the box, because we know what he does at Villa Park when we give him anything, you know, around the box. Antonio, I like Antonio. I think he's a good Premier League solid player. Will he get as many goals as he used to get? I don't think anymore, but he leads the line well. He's big, he's physical, he's strong, he's experienced. So you've got to be careful. Paqueta, I like him as well. I think the back four's solid enough. I don't think they are outstanding. And we've got to be careful. You know, they've come into this game fairly confident. You know, they've had a good run. I think their away form's not bad. I think 7 points from four games away. They're sitting just below us in the league. So, you know, they are going to come and have a bit of a go. They're not going to play like we play, but I think they will sit and try and soak up pressure. They know that we like to have the ball a lot, and we play this certain way. So they've got a very canny manager that's been around the block quite a few times. So he'll know exactly how he wants to set up against us. And they've got some really good players. So it's going to be a really, really interesting game, you know, coming back from the international break, and a game that I think we can win. I hope we can win, and I fancy us to win it. But you know, we can't just turn up and they're not going to roll over for us. You know, with most Premier League teams nowadays are hard nut to crack. So we've got to be on it from the start. But I think with the players we possess and the style of play we've now got, with the manager we've got, hopefully pretty much sold out Villa Park, I really fancy us to really, you know, put on a decent show on Sunday and hopefully win the game.
Yeah, I think it for me, it's going to be a difficult game because they sort of like to set a bit of a trap on the counter, how they play. And I think Villa at home, we're going to have majority of the ball. It's how can we break them down? But the big threat that they've got is I think they've got clutch players. And what I mean by that is, they don't need loads of chances, and they're very efficient at putting the chances they do get away. Bowen is so clinical when he gets those opportunities. We've really got to watch the ball over the top. You know, that's a tactic that they employ. Ball into target man, Antonio, ball back into midfield, ball over the top, running in behind with their wingers. So that's how they play. And that's one of our weaknesses, is our high line. And I think if we are pushing, we are sort of having territorial dominance, we've really got to be wary of, if we lose that ball on transition, this is what West Ham want to do. They want to nick that ball. They want to win it, and they want to break. And we've just really got to be mindful of the counter-attack, because you know, they're great at it, and they've got some really, really good players. Paqueta, I really like him. I think he's a brilliant footballer. Probably would be at Man City if he didn't have that sort of betting malarkey sort of hanging over his shoulder now. You know, maybe some due diligence had been done there, and that's why they didn't push for Paqueta, because you know, when Man City want players, they generally do get them, and they seem to sort of just pull the plug on that one. So, you know, it's a player that is really good. Ward-Prowse, I mean, we know about Ward-Prowse's free kicks at Villa Park, etc. We've seen it before. So, you know, it's going to be a real difficult game. And like we said when we were talking about the fixtures earlier, every single game throws up its own sort of dilemma during a game. So it's going to be really difficult. But Ryan, the home run, Villa's run at home, do you think it's still going to be there after this?
I blooming well hope so. I do hope so. Yeah, just, you know, on that West Ham, that they'll see us as a prime target, really. We're playing right into their hands the way we like to play. They're going to be licking their lips, going, oh, I fancy this. We'll let them come on. I can see them sitting right back there. Let us come on. And they will look to pick us off, and they are dangerous. But, you know, we've all noticed it. The three of us have noticed it. So King Goon, you know, he would have noticed it minutes after our last week when he pulled his laptop. And that's what I love about Unai. Each game is isolated. We don't look back at the last result, or we're not looking forward. You know, we just talked about the run of four games and how many points we'll pick up. But for Unai, it's focus one game at a time. Don't care what happened in that game. Don't care if we're going to play Luton next. It's isolated, and full focus is on that, and a plan and a tactical shape and a personnel. Everything gets put into the mix, and he picks out the selection and the tactics that we're going to go for in that game. So he will know West Ham's strengths, and then it will just be down to our players to execute his plan. But the home form, it's been brilliant. You know what I mean? Oh, sometimes Villa Park has been such a nice place for away teams to come and play, a nice welcoming place for away fans to come and have a great time. You know, we've got this massive traditional stadium. You know, they come, they have a lovely time, they take the 3 points, go home. We're all fuming, but Emery's turned it around, and it is a fortress. It's a fortress. You know, this run of wins, I can't remember ever in my time having this much dominance at home. So I'll back it to continue. It is so good to know that when we go down Villa Park, we're potentially going to win, and we're potentially going to put in a big performance, and we are going to be entertained. You know, whether that's through pure excitement of the game, or whether it's entertained when we score last minute, but we've been in a good tactical battle and we've really enjoyed it. So as for like enjoying football at Villa Park, yes, absolutely loving it. Absolutely loving the Unai Versity education that he's giving us, and we're visually watching week in, week out. So buzzing to get down Villa Park on Sunday.
Do you know what's funny though? Like when there's an international break, like, you know, when Villa upload a picture of him for like the first time in like a week and a half, I look at him and I'm like, oh, proper missed you, I have. Do you know what I mean? I've got that feeling with him. Like when you just see his face, or once his episodes that they'll probably upload a picture of him going to training with his clipboard, and you're like, there he is. So yeah, like you say, for any team, it's a difficult place to go. Away fans don't expect to win at Villa Park anymore because the run and the record is so good there now. So, you know, long may it continue. And yeah, just hopefully it continues. So we've brought something back then. Score prediction time. We'll kick it off with Justin. I know a lot of people have missed these predictions. So Justin, what are you going for?
Yeah, I'm going to back us to win. Surprise, surprise. Yeah, I think we score goals now, don't we, for fun. I do think they'll carry a threat. I think I'm worried about Ward-Prowse, and whether it's a delivery from a set piece or a direct free kick or something. They are going to carry a threat. So I'm going to go for a 3-1 home win.
Really? That's big, tasty. Big, Ryan, what are you going with?
I am going for the solitary 1-0, whether that'll be early doors or late in the game. Hopefully early doors. I think that's the best thing we could do, and it's score early, try and force them out. But I think it will be a bit of a patient one. But we've seen so many times we fight to the end, don't we? And we keep believing we're going to win. So I think it'll be a 1-0 win to Villa.
And I'm going to book the trend on the podcast today. I'm going with a draw. I think it's going to be a draw, and I'm going to go 2-2. I just think they've got a game plan that can hurt us. So I'm going 2-2. So, yeah, there we go. Right, great to have you back, Justin. Great to have Ryan on as well. And that's it for today's episode. We'll be back with the predicted lineup. We've then got opposition preview, which will be out on Saturday. press conference on Friday with the predictions probably in the press conference episode. So cheers, everyone, for watching. Up the Villa.
Up the Villa.